Good morning. It's time for another edition of Fry Bread Journeys here on the Mighty 690 with your hosts, Chris Crane and Amy Dollar.
Ocio. You say
Alito.
Una osta, una doda quonahi sanale, which is good Monday morning. And that was pretty good for me to do that. So, okay. First thing we want to do is we want to give a big wado, which is thank you in Cherokee, to a few people. First of all, is it Jody or Jody? Sten?
Sten Jody.
Sten Jody. And he allows us to use his awesome song there, Greasy Fry Bread, for an intro. And this month's sponsors, we're laughing, Smiling Charlie Crane. Yes, I'm lucky woman, because he smiles all the time. Not. But, and the Cooperative Credit Union, which is located at 313 West 9th Street here in Coffeyville. You should pay a visit to Lyle and his gang there. The credit unions are nonprofit and members are also shareholders. So CCU is able to lower their overhead and pass that savings along to their customers. So head down there and start an account today.
Yes, do that for sure.
We love Lyle.
Yes.
Okay.
And everybody else there is super nice.
Oh, yeah. I know. Absolutely.
They are all nice. I almost said Lyle and his tribe. But
there you go.
But so I looked and the only... I mean, I saw a couple of birthdays, but I'm laughing because I put down, we'll see if you know. Do you know who Nancy Culp is? Did you ever watch Beverly Hillbillies?
Oh, yeah.
Miss Hathaway.
Oh, Miss Hathaway. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Well, good. Then I'm kind
of of course.
Okay.
Yeah, we were curious.
She was born in 1921 today.
Hey.
I mean, she's not alive anymore, but.
That's on this date.
On this date.
And, you know, Shay does the birthday, so he probably skipped her because, you know, he didn't. I don't know. I don't know if he probably knows the Beverly Hillbillies, but he probably just didn't recognize the name.
Yeah. Well, who did you say?
Oh, Jack Black.
Yeah. And then
and
I
Jack
said.
Black.
I said Donald O'Connor, who he was a dancer. He was in Singing in the Rain, which I like old movies.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm old, so that's why we don't.
Well, they were better back then. These new ones are just, like, for the most part. Just.
Well, I just remember that because I saw a thing about it, and it was in that movie. Have you ever seen the movie? They do it. He does a solo dance where he ends up running at the wall and doing backflips off of it. Yeah. And I read somewhere that he did... I don't know how many takes of that, and he was, like, kind of worn out afterwards.
Well, back when they actually did their own stunts, and it wasn't all just CGI or whatever.
Exactly. So
Chris got to go to some fun places Friday because I was sick.
Because Amy was sick. Boo-hoo.
It's not fun, but she went to someplace cool, so we're going to have her tell us where she went.
Well,
and
I can be jealous and look at pictures.
Well,
we're going to have to go back another time. Because Amy's never been, and that was the point. Well, we had planned on going to the Will Rogers Museum in Claremore. And then we were going to go to the Birthplace Ranch. So I was really pushing her. I didn't care if she was sick. I wanted her to go. But she was like, I really am sick. And I knew she was, but I was kind of giving her a hard time. So I got Colby Howard, who I work with at Native American Fellowship. And he was like, yeah. He hadn't been to the museum since he was a kid. And we drove down and we went in there. And the volunteer docents guys, there was a guy named Ralph Peck. Hello, Ralph. He looks like Santa Claus, and he was awesome. They're actually following Fry Bread Journeys. They all pulled the phones out, and they were liking us and following us and listened this morning. And we walked around. It's just a cool museum if you've never been. They do it for kids, too. They actually can print out a scavenger hunt list, and that's always fun. I've taken many field trips with kids there. Very informative. Will was... quarter Cherokee and very proud of his heritage. And one of the things we were talking about, he was a movie star. You know, he made all these movies and they show some of these silent movies and things on at the same time down there and have a theater.
Very cool.
And he died in 1935 in a very tragic plane crash with an aeronautical pioneer, Wiley Post. They were in Point Barrow, Alaska, and they were taking off and it just quit and they went nose first and were both killed instantly. But people, there's a room called The Final Journey, and it's all the telegrams from, they showed a newscast thing about it. It was like looking back with Mike Wallace, and they had, I don't know, it was like 30 or 40,000 people came to this funeral. And he lived in California at the time and was the mayor of Beverly Hills or something. But... and when he died in 1935, the year before, 1934 was the year Shirley Temple took over as the number one box office attraction, and he had been number one for the previous 5 years.
Wow.
He was just that well-loved, and he wrote newspaper articles. So it was pretty cool. And then when we left, we came back, and we drove to Uluga and went to the Will Rogers Birthplace Ranch, which I think I talked about how Cherokee Nation just purchased it, and from the Oklahoma Historical Society. So they're going to be doing all sorts of things out there, upgrades, but the restoration. And it was an awesome, just a great trip. And I'm just sorry that Amy wasn't with us.
I'm sorry, too. I'm getting more and more sorry as I listen to this.
Hey, the good thing is it's not that far away.
No, and we are definitely going to plan to get away again.
And I wanted her to go because I was like all excited because I was going to show her something she had never seen before. And we're still going to go do it.
She's still going to show me something I've never seen before. I'm not going without you.
We're going to go. So it was pretty neat. And I put that on, I don't know, Charlie might get mad about what happened to me last Thursday, but no. We have a Jeep, remote control, had the fob, you know, and he took me to Nowata to the clinic, and he dropped me off, and then the clinic is on the south end of Nowata, and then he drove back to the north end of the Loves, and he called me. He did not have the Jeep fob. I don't know how the Jeep ran. It drove all the way back, and when he turned it off, he couldn't start it again.
Yeah, that's okay. Wild.
I didn't know. And so the nurses, this was amazing. I'm at the Cherokee Nation Clinic, and these nurses go, we're going on break. We'll take it. And I said, okay. So I called him, and I said, they're coming. So he stood and watched, was looking south. Those gals drove past him, went to the north entrance, drove around. He didn't know him. And then remote started the Jeep while he was standing there. And I think it freaked him out. But
that's crazy.
I know. But he said he got it. He got the Jeep going. And I think he offered to buy him soft drinks. And they were like, no, we're good.
The perils of having a car. Who would have thought?
I think what happened was he thought he grabbed the other fob, and he grabbed it for his vehicle.
So it's one of those ones where you don't have to stick it in. Just, as long as you have it on your person,
and it's, or it's close enough, and it's got a remote, you can actually do a remote, which is nice in the wintertime.
Oh, sure.
But I've been laughing at, but I guess part of it was I just was impressed that those girls were so nice at the Nowata, Cherokee Nation Nowata Clinic to do that.
They deserve a shout out.
Yep, that was very nice of them.
Everybody's always nice in Nowata, though. Anytime you ever go there.
I know.
Oh, yeah, good place.
Well, you were looking up stuff about the boarding schools, which is not...
So, I did. So, my dad grew up in Spencerville, Oklahoma. And my grandpa had a peanut.
Where is it?
It's in southeast Oklahoma. It's in Choctaw County.
Okay.
Kind of on the Pushmataha County line there. It's by Hugo Lake.
Oh, okay.
But
okay,
when my dad lived there, I don't think the lake was there yet.
Oh.
Because they put it in, later. But the circuses used to winter there. They do. They still do.
A friend of mine here in town, Joetta Evely, hey, she's from Hugo. And her sister, Peggy Maxson, their son is Trey Maxson, that owns the
Oak. Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're from that area. And there's the cemetery has circus. And Lane Frost is buried there.
Yeah, and Penny here from KGGF.
Penny's from there?
No, Penny has gone down to the elephant sanctuary, and Whitney, and gone to their elephant. We went to see all the elephant stuff down there. So there's a lot of cool stuff
down there, and you're not far away from Broken Bend or whatever, in Hochatown.
Broken Bow. I've been down there.
Yeah. Oh, it's a wild place down there. It's really cool.
We canoed and it was nice.
This
is where Spencerville is.
Yes. Okay. And Spencer Academy was put in there. They actually named the town after the academy. And it was on a road that went from Fort Smith to Fort Towson through the Seven Devils Mountains down by McCurtain. So it was a army trace road.
Okay.
So the military used to use it, and probably all the Choctaw before that. But anyway, this was a boys' academy, and they built it in like 1841. And it was ran by the Choctaw Nation, and they paid these Presbyterians to run the school. They usually had about 100 boys there, 70 to 100 boys. And when the war started, they closed it. So there wasn't really, everybody went to war, so they closed it. And they reopened it. When they reopened it, they opened it by a different town, by like Nelson or something, like 20 miles away. But anyway, we're going to talk about the original site. And what was so interesting about it, when they had it, they had, there was a man, and his last name was Willis. I think his name was Brett Willis, and he owned a couple slaves, Wallace and Minerva, and he would loan them out. Well, they'd pay or whatever. They went and worked at the academy.
Yes.
And They were from Mississippi. They had come up on the Trail of Tears with the Choctaw Indians, and so that's where they made their home. They had a little house. I think I always like to picture it's on the same road that my dad's house was on, because it was his house was on that, I think, on that old military trace road there that went up. And then when I went to see it, I went to see it like 13 or 14 years ago maybe, and you go down this dead-end road, and there's a fence, and there's the marker. And then you can see where the school was. There's a house there now.
Yeah, I'm actually pulling it up on the maps here. And, yeah, they just, like, there's a farmstead house. Mm-hmm. I don't really see anything that
you
sticks
out. You
used
to be able to see, like, the bell, I think.
There might
or
be.
Where the bell was.
It's just kind of hard to see from the overhead, and, too, there's some trees and that sort of thing in the way.
It is very cool down there. Fort Towson is very cool. Doakesville is very cool.
So
they're
actually been down there.
Oh yeah. I went because my mom always said that she used to tease and say that she didn't know if Spencerville was real, so I had to go see it and find out if it was real. My dad tells fabulous stories. He's a great storyteller. A monkey got loose from the circus once and ended up in their barn. It was not a fun Summer of the Monkeys story. It was like if that monkey would have got him, it probably would have killed him or ripped him apart. My grandma, and she had five boys. Anyway, she trapped him, blocked up the spot, and caught him in the barn, and the circus people came and got him. So they didn't touch him or make friends.
I love the fact she referenced Summer of the Monkeys.
Well,
have you ever read the book?
I have not.
The guy that wrote Where the Red Fern Grows.
Oh, okay.
Wilson Rawls, and he wrote Summer of the Monkeys, and it took place in southern,
Southeast Oklahoma.
Yeah.
So I used to get really confused when
parents, those are two great books for your kids to read.
Yeah, if your kids haven't already read them.
They need to.
Yes.
And adults, it doesn't matter.
And Sounder's really good, too,
Anyway. When did you go down here?
We went down there about 13 years ago.
Oh, okay.
So, or 14, maybe. It's been a long time since I got to go and see it. But when I was on my way back from Longview in April, we went to Fort Towson, and that was the first time I got to go there and see the military site. And so that was kind of cool. I hate taking the turnpike, so I cut off.
I'd rather go to scenic routes.
Yeah, I was like, hey, we could go there. And Nick's like, what? And I'm like, yeah. So we drove through it and looked around, and it was really interesting. But what was cool about Spencer Academy is Wallace, Willis, and Minerva, they worked there and they sang. And he sang songs and he wrote songs. He was inspired by the Red River and the Book of Elijah. Oh, he wrote Roll, Jordan, Roll, which a lot of people may not recognize that gospel song. But you know what he did, right? That everybody should know. That's why Spencerville should be super famous. Wallace Willis wrote Swing Low, Sweet Chariot.
Oh, wow.
And he wrote it and sang it, and the people at the academy heard it. And this Mr. Reed guy that used to work at the academy, he was a East Coast, New Jersey person, but he worked at the Fisk College in Nashville. And the Fisk College is an all-black college that was opened right after the war in 1866. And the Jubilee Singers were an a cappella group that traveled around and sang at different churches, and they sang gospel songs. It was a fundraiser for the college. And they were doing a tour, and they were talking with Mr. Reed, and they were like, well, you know, we're going to keep singing these same songs. Do you think they're good enough? And Mr. Reed's like, I've heard some songs. So Mr. Reed sat down and wrote down Swing Low, Sweet Chariot that he had heard Wallace Willis sing, and Steal Away to Jesus, and The Angels Are Coming, and then the Roll, Jordan, Roll. But they sang those songs. So the first time the Swing Low, Sweet Chariot was really publicly heard was around 1870, and it was by those Jubilee Singers. So
that's really cool.
It is very cool
history. I mean,
it's a song that, like, this should be on a...
Did you know this when you went down there, or you just did this research afterwards?
I knew that the school was there because my dad told me about the school being there. I knew that, like, we had mentioned on the last show, we talked about the arrowheads. That's the only place I have arrowheads from. My dad found them in that area where he grew up there. But I did not know that Swing Low, Sweet Chariot was written there.
So are you going to sing it for us?
No.
James?
Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. Coming for to carry me home.
All righty.
Now you make me want to sing.
I know.
I did not know about that song, but I did know about the school. So it was very interesting. And I thought, that's what I was like, this should be a famous place. This should be a big... There's two different markers for the Spencer Academy, because they have the new Spencer Academy that opened up after the war in a different place, and about 20 miles away from this one. So there's one right off of the highway you can see for that school. And then there's the original marker where you can go down the dead end road at Spencerville and look at it over the fence. I crawled over the fence and looked, and I wasn't really worried about it. Well, I just figured if I started telling them my last name, they'd know who I was. Now, I figured I'd be safe. So.
There is a Spencerville cemetery that's just to the east of that original marker, it looks like.
There is.
So if you just go down that road, and then there's a looking like a very shady drive, and on an old dirt road, it gets to a pretty decently sized cemetery. That's back there.
There is. Now, the school had a cemetery that's probably, most of them aren't even marked. And it was pretty small. It was mostly teachers and staff that worked there. There was just a few students there that I figure is probably by those people's house.
Okay, yeah, probably in the corner.
There's a low water bridge right in there. And my dad said people used to go down there and wash their cars on the weekends. At the low water bridge and swim.
That's crazy.
Oh, but the school in its new location, it burned down in 1896 and was never rebuilt. Oh, it was kind of a sad ending to the school, but I liked everything I read about the school. The woman and her husband that were missionaries that ran, like, you kind of, especially kind of, you know, we watch Reservation Dogs, mm-hmm. and it's kind of, and in like 1923, they talk about the boarding schools and the residential schools and how, you know, and I listen to all these podcasts, the First Nation podcasts, and they not always have a really good light. No. And I'm sure this one had its fair share of not good light. But what I liked about it was the man and woman that ran it, when she died, her headstone was in Choctaw and in English.
Well, I think that's what the difference was. This sounds like it was an actual tribal-run boarding school. Which
yes.
The boarding school stories we all hear are always about run by white people.
Yeah, like, and isn't that the educational little tree or something like that?
Taking those kids out of their homes, yep. and everything. Another book that just made me think of one. It's called The Education of Little Tree.
That one. Yeah.
You remember this?
I have seen the movie, too.
Have you seen the movie with James mm-hmm. Cromwell?
Yeah.
It is, and it's basically he's raised by his grandparents, and he's living in North Carolina in the hills, and they come and tell him he can't stay with his Cherokee grandparents, and they take him to boarding school, and they get him back. And I mean, it's just like, oh, my gosh.
Very sad.
Yeah. I read that, too. We went to the Jim Thorpe home down in Yale, Oklahoma, and he was sent to boarding school and ran away several times. So it wasn't, this sounds like a nicer because it was owned by the tribe.
That's what I kind of felt like when I was reading, even though they paid the Presbyterian missionaries to run it, that what made me really feel that was that woman's headstone was in Choctaw. English and in Choctaw. And if they would have been like the nuns we see on Reservation Dogs on that episode, that one, I don't know if you've seen that. Episode stuck with me. Like, it made me cry worse than anything. I think I'm also kind of emotional, but that was so sad. That poor little boy, his little face was so cute too. But it just makes you kind of hurt. But this story, I was like, hey, I feel like this wasn't the worst ending, except for it did burn down. And four people died in the, when it burned down, but they, there was 100 people there at the time. I felt like in 1896 getting almost 100 people out of a two-story building.
Yeah.
That's pretty good odds, really.
You pick up your phone and call the fire department.
And when the headmaster woke up, the stairs were on fire. Mm. So the boys threw some mattresses out the windows and jumped out. Yeah. But the boys that burned were ones that were in rooms with no windows and couldn't get out. And it was like very heartbreaking. That's how my research ended. Was with reading the newspapers. But, when I read it was the Choctaw Intelligencer, and they always have sections of it in Choctaw and in Cherokee and in Creek, and I think that's so neat. But they had a lot of good things. They would have the finals. When they had finals, it would always be in the paper, and I thought that was very cool. So anyway, if you guys want to make it down that way.
That's a long trip, though.
It is a very long trip.
I don't know. I like going to Broken Bow.
There's some really neat stuff down there in Southeast Oklahoma. There is a lot of stuff to see.
It is. And Doakesville is very important historically because that's where they signed treaties with the Choctaw and Chickasaw. And then I think that's where Stan Waddy finally quit warring, too. It was right around in that area. Signed a treaty to quit being at war.
Saturday, Charlie and I went to Sedan.
I saw that, and
we
went like a lot of fun.
We just went to the Red Buffalo, and if you've ever been through there, you know there's not a lot in Sedan, but you turn on the main street, and I've always seen it, and it says Hollow Park, and I thought, okay, it's just trees is what it looked like to me. And we were early, so we drove in, and it was not just trees. It was a whole, like, downhill. There was a one-room schoolhouse. there was a beautiful gazebo, and it had stone walkways and then wooden. And it was like, I don't know, 200 yards.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever been in there?
Well, so what I've heard is, especially, you can go at like 100-degree day, and you can go down there, and it cools off.
This gal was down there, and she said they're on a water conservation thing. And there's a creek that runs through there, and she had a pump and a hose, and she was watering out of that. And so the walkways, and they're bigger in some spots where you can put like a choir or a band or something, and they're all electrical. And there's a waterfall at the end and caves. And Charlie walked down there. I was talking to her. Her name was Sue Allen. And she does volunteer down there. And he said a fox ran out of the cave. And like, oh, okay.
That's so cool.
And the breeze. But she's got beautiful flowers. And they do a winter wonderland between Thanksgiving and Christmas. They light
Christmas
it all
in the
up.
Hollow down there.
And it's Christmas in the Hollow. Why have I didn't know anything about this?
I've been there when I used to work for Good News. On Fridays, I'd go to Sedan and call on people there at Big Shots Floyd's Market.
I was just amazed at how cool and nice it was.
It is very pretty down there. They have the night blooming flowers. Yes. And then that cool, I saw you took a picture of the donut rock. That's what my daughter always called it.
Well, that was like a well cover is what my husband told me. But there was this tower in one of the pictures. It's on the Facebook page. And I said, what is that stuff? And it was, she just kind of like made a teepee looking thing and then wrapped it with chicken wire. And it was a hyacinth bean vine. And she gave me seeds.
Oh, very cool.
So she said, here, and just reached her pocket. She said, I just gathered a bunch of these. Here, take them. I was like, all right, you know.
That is very cool.
But I guess I wanted to give a shout out to that place because I don't know. I've lived around here for a long time. Now, my husband said, well, I kind of knew there was a park. I didn't know it looked that nice. I didn't know it was so, it had been a salvage yard.
Are you kidding me?
They said it took so much cleanup, and in 1993, it was this guy's passed away, and he had. They started cleaning it up.
That's a great success story.
That's what I think. That's what got me. I said, "Are you serious?" She said, "Oh, there was junk everywhere."
Sedan Cemetery is pretty cool too.
Well, I kind of want to go back, and I mean, we went over just to go to the gift shop, so it was like a kind of a hurry rush thing. I just wanted to go do what I was going to do, and that was just a treat. I guess that was not, it was an unexpected thing.
It is very cool.
So there. I was pretty happy about that.
And most of the time down in Hollers, there's not breeze.
No, there was.
So that's it's an interesting that there's such a, you are cooler down there. I think they did the blues festival down there one time.
They usually don't. I thought they usually do it outside of town, but they might have done.
Like one time, maybe right around COVID time.
Well, she said during the Winter Wonderland on Saturdays, they have things come in, you know, choirs or whatever on Saturday.
Yeah,
so there's always something
the full
that goes on.
Yep.
Lee, you know, why haven't you talked about this before?
We do it on the air? Come on now, you gotta listen more.
I guess so.
Be like Amy and Nick.
No, we have to, well, I do have, we had tomahawk practice already this morning before I got here.
That is very cool too.
I'm tired.
Team cut.
And listen, folks, I got a thing from Facebook, the Washington County group, they're calling themselves the Fighting Turkeys, John Weston, if you were listening. And so he put on Facebook and it said, gobble, gobble, Naffy. And I said, oh, well, we're team cut, so I guess we can take your little turkey heads off.
Oh.
And immediately it popped up and it said, we're deleting that post. You're violating community
standards.
Oh,
yeah, you got to be careful. The Facebook Nazis will get you. They'll probably get me.
So trash talk is now monitored on Facebook.
Oh, yeah, they get everything.
But, I thought it was. It's a turkey.
Funny.
I'm going to cut a turkey's head off. So, okay.
Yeah, it gets us on some really weird things. And I can't remember the specific example. It was a very odd thing that it cut us off.
It was just
on.
Really bizarre. And I know we don't have a lot of time left here.
Yep, so let's get to it.
I will tell you that we have, look up there at the picture, 101 recipes, Native American recipes. And I did the drawing this morning. So do we want to do our little drum roll thing? Vicki Whitworth. I happen to know her. Vicki, yay. She lives over by Bart Dewey. And I think she's part of their group, but she's been part of NAFI before. And she's very good with crafts. She makes the masks, the booger masks and things like that with the gourds.
Cool.
So we will get that to her. Yes. And I made a cake. I will put the recipe on Facebook. It is a lemon blueberry cake. Amy has had it before.
Yeah.
I actually made this cake, so that means it is simple.
It's really good, and I want you guys to try it. I want you to try it.
It looks like, you know, something you'd see on one of these fancy recipe pages or
shows. No, it's not.
It
was
very delectable.
Well, it's a dense cake, but it's not. It's light, and it's a good summer spring cake. It uses fresh blueberries in it, and it's just easy recipe, and I'll post it on the page.
And it's absolutely perfect.
Do you like it?
It's perfect.
You have to. I don't even like lemon, but but I like that cake.
That's some good stuff.
So, okay. Well, good. And I'm just going to give a really quick thing here about how September 30th is our 4th Annual Native Unity Gathering at NAFI, and we do this in conjunction with USD 445 Indian Ed and Oklahoma Union Indian Ed. Amy and Lyle Martin will be our co-MCs.
Me and Lyle.
Yeah, and we have a lot of people coming. Chief Hoskins should be down there, some tribal counselors. We're still lining people up. I don't think Robert Lewis is going to make it, our storyteller.
That's who I was
but
ask
Abraham
about.
Bearpaw is on board.
Oh, okay.
And
I
he taught. Him. Yes, he's very good. So we will have lots of food. We'll have the pulled pork and all this kind of stuff going on, just like free food. Bring a lawn chair. So I want to get that. And the next day is the Tomahawk Challenge competition, and we have 5 teams entered now, not just us and Dewey. It has grown. We have Washington County. We have. Who else? I say Pocahontas Women's Club, and it seemed like somebody else. Oh, and the Kansas City group at large. So, yeah, Melissa McKee, I know you're listening in Kansas City. We're coming for you. Don't think it's going to be easy, honey. We're coming for you with the trash talk.
That's
I mean,
good.
You have to do that.
And we don't censor you on the radio.
I know.
Other than what we have to.
And, yeah.
We will be broadcasting live, too.
You will be broadcasting live from there, yes. And I guess I want to get the last thing that I want to get in is about the fry bread recipe this month, is from Lyle Martin, and it's a Lakota fry bread. And I think it's interesting because it says it's only going to make 4 pieces. I still think, I don't know, you're using 2 cups of flour.
It'd be pretty thick.
A teaspoon of salt, a cup of water or enough to make a soft dough, and a third of a cup of sugar and 3 teaspoons of baking powder. You mix it, you divide it into 4 pieces, and you pat them into a flat round and then fry them in 1 to 2 inches of oil. And I thought, I don't know, I bet you can only fry a couple at a time, maybe.
There's no rules on how big it is.
I guess
you
not.
Have a personal
you need to look at the page and see that meme, that hamburger I posted with fry bread for the bun.
Oh, nice.
And Trey Maxson at the Yolks. I was like, please, Trey, make this for a special. So.
Oh, my gosh. So if he does that, we have to go eat one.
I know. I think you could feed 4 or 5 people with
this
burger.
That'd be great. I think that's there. And they experiment with stuff, so they might do it.
I think you might.
On the Trey burger as it is. So.
And then do you want to finish thanking our sponsors again?
I don't
have to call him your hubby.
No.
He's not your hubby.
I want to thank Charlie because Charlie is super cool. And thank you because without Charlie, we would not be able to do this. And without Cooperative Credit Union, we really appreciate Cooperative Credit Union. Go get an account there. If you have an account there already, go get a safety deposit box so you don't have to keep stuff in a bag under your bed like I do. Maybe I should go get a safety deposit box. But thank you, Lyle, and thank you, Cooperative Credit Union. I know it's not just him. And thank you again to Charlie.
Thank you to KGGF. And we tune in next month is Monday, September 25th at 9:10 a.m. here on Mighty 690. And I'm going to end it with Osta Igaheda, which is Cherokee for have a great day.
And I'm going to say, see you later. I was just thinking someone, well, no, I'm going to say it in Choctaw.
Okay.
I was thinking that that some native language would have a word bye, and they don't. They all say, see you later. So, omi chiapisa la chike.
Excellent. Very good. Well, another great show, and look forward to having you ladies on again soon next month. And we're going to be enjoying some of this cake. That's some good stuff. All right, we'll be back to Open Line here in moments on KGGF.